Wait a minute. I can't keep talking about puppies. Are you serious? I have to talk about something else. You mean like a possible turnaround in Congress today? It looks like the Violence Against Women Act reauthorization returns to the floor of the Senate today in the midst of the fiscal cliff negotiations over the new year. Congress allowed the act to expire. That's right. Originally passed in 1994, it funded training for police, attorneys, doctors, and many others on how to handle cases concerning domestic and sexual violence, as well as stalking and related issues. Senator Patrick Leahy used last week's judiciary hearings on gun violence to make another plea to reestablish the Violence Against Women Act.
I do this because of concern for domestic violence victims. We have statistics to show women in this country are killed at alarming rates by domestic abusers with guns.
Joining us now, Takeaway's Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. So does the Violence Against Women Act have another shot in the Senate, or is this going to be symbolic?
Well, it has a great shot in the Senate because the other thing, John, that Pat Leahy announced just before the weekend is that he has secured 60 votes for the new incarnation of the Violence Against Women Act, which means there's a great chance it will pass the Senate. However, that has never been the problem. The problem is fundamental disagreements over parts of this act, renewing this act, between Senate Democrats and House Republicans. And those disagreements remain. Now, House Republican leaders have remained basically silent on what they're going to do with the Violence Against Women Act. If you recall to late last year when this whole thing fell apart, the disagreements are around how to treat undocumented women under the Violence Against Women Act. Democrats say just because you're undocumented doesn't mean you have any less rights in terms of being defended against domestic violence. Gays and lesbians, transgender people, and what to do about some of the jurisdiction on Indian reservations. Those are all, and then there's some visa issues as well. But it's really the LGBT issues and undocumented immigrants that are still a major sticking point. The Senate's going to be fine. The House, unclear, but they want to pass this thing because a lot of House Republicans do believe this is getting to be a political liability for them.
Clarify, it's not as though House Republicans believe there should be violence against undocumented women or gay people.
Of course not. No. And there is broad support for the Violence Against Women Act. This is really what this is doing is taking the broader issues of the Violence Against Women Act and kind of the fulcrum has shifted to these contentious issues. Let's face it. Illegal immigration, undocumented people are very controversial in this country. That's kind of a bigger fish than just the Violence Against Women Act. Same with lesbians, gays, bisexual, and transgender people. That's a bigger debate in this country between conservatives and liberals than violence against women. So it's kind of getting tangled up in those issues. And I'm afraid to say some of the factions on these issues on both sides are using the Violence Against Women Act, which a lot of people agree on its merits and its intent, to get their way on broader issues.
Now, in the old days, the Speaker and the Senate leadership would get together and pass their own versions of the bill, and this would get resolved quietly in conference, and the factions wouldn't run things. But that's not the way it works today.
That has not been able to happen on this bill, and you're right, John. You're referring to things called conference committees, which are extremely rare in Congress these days. Things that they want to pass, there's such a wide political gulf between the Senate and the House these days, particularly House conservatives and the Senate Democrats under the control or at least the leadership of Harry Reid, that traditional regular order way of doing things has kind of broken down for the time being. It'll be back someday, I'm sure. So they're going to need an agreement between leaders kind of behind closed doors to see what John Boehner and Eric Cantor can get passed in the House.
Finally, is Democratic Senator Menendez from New Jersey, is he in flames all of a sudden?
I wouldn't quite go that far. He is in trouble, and he's got some explaining to do to the Senate Ethics Committee. Bob Menendez, senator from New Jersey, just repaid $58,500 to a friend and donor down in Miami, a wealthy surgeon who's also a supporter of his, who paid for a couple of flights in 2010 down to the Dominican Republic. Bob Menendez just turned around earlier last month and repaid that money sort of out of nowhere. This is all connected to something broader. That gentleman down in Miami, the surgeon, is under investigation for Medicare fraud, but more than that, there are allegations that I want to stress unsubstantiated to this point, and Bob Menendez denies them. There are allegations in conservative press that he solicited prostitutes while in the Dominican Republic, that some of them may have been underage. Now, prostitution is legal in the Dominican Republic. Other senators have survived this kind of thing, but Bob Menendez has some explaining to do.
And the FBI has been asking questions, although there's no official inquiry underway, at least that we know of. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.